So I was recently on site with a client evaluating a practice. Part of what we do for verification is we pull up some x-rays to see the work that was done. Was it actually necessary to treatment plan that? Is the dentist over treatment or under treatment planning? And by looking at x-rays, we can get a pretty decent idea. So we went back and looked. There was a patient who had a crown on, I think it was number 15, who pulled up the x-rays. Yes, 15 was definitely justified to have that crown done. There was huge decay. But on 14, there was decay. On 13, there was decay. On 12, there was decay. On basically every single tooth in this patient's mouth, there was decay. And yet the dentist was only doing a crown on that one tooth. We looked up another x-ray. Same thing, a different patient altogether. Same situation, a different patient, same situation. Almost every patient we looked at had decay on multiple teeth, yet the dentist was only treatment planning a single tooth at a time. We asked the dentist about this. We said, hey, why are you only doing one tooth at a time, even though clearly these x-rays show that there are decay on these other teeth? His response was, honestly, I'm just too busy to do them all. And so I only have time to do the teeth that the patients are specifically complaining about. What? Like, are you serious? That means there is a huge amount of work that's going to need to be done at this practice because most people don't complain about a tooth hurting until the cavity has really progressed pretty far or else it's in some really visible place. Most people are not going to come in complaining that they have decay. You as a dentist have to find that decay and treatment plan it and inform the patient about it so that they can get the work done. On top of that, this dentist was using phosphor plates that haven't been replaced in, it looked like, 10 plus years. They were super scratched, very, very low diagnostic quality, very, very low quality images. And yet you could still see massive amounts of decay on the x-rays. For the right type of buyer, if you can find a practice like this, you can come in and start comprehensively treatment planning on these patients, and you can dramatically increase revenue. My client actually showed this practice to an accountant, and the accountant told him, this practice looks kind of slow. You might want to find a better practice. This was not a slow practice. There were three hygienists with full schedules, patients that needed treatment. The slow part was the dentist that was there. The seller was slow. Absolutely, he was slow. I'm not denying that. But the thing is you as a buyer are going to come in. You're going to replace that seller. And this practice, which was a slow practice to the accountant, is an incredible opportunity for you as a buyer. Opportunities like this can be a massive growth opportunity for the buyer, but they can also be a massive risk if you do not know how to properly evaluate the practice. So how do you know if a practice is actually worth buying? Not just does it look good on paper, but is this actually the right practice for you to buy? I talk to a lot of dentists, and a lot of dentists miss this first step. You cannot decide if a practice is worth buying until you decide what your goals are. What are you actually hoping to accomplish by buying this practice? What do you actually want out of ownership? And you have to decide that before you can determine if a practice is going to help you meet your goals. Some people simply want to make more money. Some people want to work fewer clinical days. Some people want more control over their schedule. Some people want just less physical strain, less stress, less hassle. Some people want to have more time to travel and to do things other than work. Some people want more flexibility so they can spend with their family. Some people are trying to build equity in an asset that they can later sell. Some people just want more options and they don't feel like they have those options at their associate jobs. When I bought my first practice, one of my primary goals in buying a practice was I'm actually a musician as well as a dentist, and I wanted some more time to work on music. And when I had my associate job where I was working 5 days a week, I just didn't have enough time. And so at my practice, I set my schedule to 3 days per week. So I had plenty of time to work on the music projects that I was working on. During my time as a practice owner, I actually did some work for a company that makes music for movie trailers. I had some of my compositions placed in Netflix ads, some Disney ads, some Marvel ads, and it was super exciting and it was great. And it was something that it wasn't super profitable. You're not going to make a huge amount of money in music. And I know that. And so as a dentist, as a practice owner, I was able to make enough money to support myself and support my family. And then I had some side time in addition that I could do other things that I was interested in. That's one of the advantages of being a practice owner. I talked the other day about a dentist that I helped buy a practice who was training to be in the Olympics. I've had multiple clients that are big time golfers. They play tennis, other things that they just want to have more time. If you see a dentist out on a golf course at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon, Just ask them, where do you work? I doubt they're going to say they're working at Aspen. I doubt they're going to say they're working for a Heartland or Pacific or some large corporate office. They probably work for themselves. They're probably practice owners. And they decided, hey, I'm not going to work this Tuesday afternoon. I'm going to go out with my friends. And I'm going to play golf. As an owner, you just have so much more freedom and control over your schedule than you would if you were working at an associate job. So one of your motivations for becoming an owner might just be you want to have more control. You want to have more freedom. That's completely fine. The big advantage of being a practice owner, if you set your business up right, is that you can actually work less and make more money at the same time, which is just crazy. Because not only are you going to be working less than you're working at your associate job, but you're potentially going to be making twice as much as you were making at your associate job, which is just absolutely crazy, which is why I cannot understand why anyone would want to stay working as an associate dentist for more than a few years. When you first graduated from school, I completely understand why you would want to be an associate. You don't yet know where you want to live. You don't know all the details. You don't even know how to become an owner yet, et cetera. It can be good to save up some money and maybe have a year or two of experience. But if you're in year 3, 4, 5, 6, and you're still working for someone else as a dentist, then what are you doing? You might be saying, well, I made $300,000 last year. I'm fine here. Yeah, but you could have made $600,000 and worked less and had more control over your schedule and more respect and more freedom if you had been doing the same work on patients at a practice that you own, where you are not having to share a portion of your income with some corporate headquarters somewhere in another state. So once you've decided you want to be an owner, you've defined the reasons that you want to be an owner and you've defined your goals, how do you actually find a practice that's going to help you achieve those goals? Most dental practices are going to sell through dental practice brokers. They're similar to realtors. Whereas a realtor will help you buy a house, a practice broker is going to have practices listed for sale and they're helping to facilitate the transition from the seller to the buyer. Now, a big difference between a realtor and a broker. With real estate, there is a buyer's representative and a seller's representative. If you hire a realtor to show you houses, they can show you any of the houses on the market because they are able to get a split of the commission with the seller's representative. And so they're happy to show you any house in the market because they're going to be getting their commission. With dental practices, that typically is not how things are done. Typically, the seller is going to hire a broker. They are going to pay the broker something like a 10% commission on the sale price of that practice. And in exchange, that broker promises to find a buyer and help facilitate that transition. Now, understand the broker is working for the seller and the broker is paid on a very generous commission, usually something like 10%. So that broker is extremely incentivized to sell this practice as quickly as possible and at the highest price possible. And the broker has absolutely no obligation to find a buyer who's actually suited to be in that practice. The broker doesn't care if you're going to be happy at this practice. The broker doesn't care if you're going to be profitable at this practice because the broker's income is not tied to your future income as a buyer. The broker's income is simply tied to the price you're willing to pay for that practice and what kind of loan you're able to get in order to cover the cost of this practice. There are some very good and very honest brokers, but I've seen a lot of brokers that just straight up lie to buyers. And maybe they don't officially say something that's not true, then maybe they're not officially lying, but they'll oftentimes conveniently forget to mention very, very important information that potentially would have made a huge difference to you as a buyer. And you don't find out about these things until after you have already closed in the practice, after it's already too late to back out. And you're now stuck with a practice that has some issues that you were not aware of going in. Every broker is going to tell you that this practice is perfect for you. It's the best fit. You're going to do amazing here. You're going to be extremely profitable. They're going to find a way to spin it to make it look extremely possible. That's great. Listen to what they have to say, but you need to go in and independently verify everything that they're saying. And you need to look at the things that they are not saying because the broker is probably conveniently forgetting to mention certain things to you. You need to go through and verify everything in that practice to make sure that it is going to be the right fit for you as a buyer. Now, one of the first things I always hear from buyers, and I don't really understand where a lot of them get this idea from, but they say, well, I was looking at this practice and I showed it to an accountant and the accountant said it's a good practice, or the accountant said it's a bad practice, or the accountant said whatever the accountants say. An accountant's job is to look at the past financial performance, aggregate those numbers together, organize them in the right fashion, send them off to the IRS and tell you how much you owe in taxes. I know because I studied accounting in undergrad and I worked as an accountant before becoming a dentist. So I understand what accountants learn in school and I understand what their goal and what their job is. And I'm telling you, they do not learn how to run a dental practice in accounting school. You do not learn those types of things as an accountant. That's not what your job is. That's not your focus. And so if you ask an accountant, is this practice worth buying? All they're going to do is they're going to look at the same numbers that they would be sending off to the IRS to calculate your taxes. And they're going to just see, well, the revenue was this last year, the expenses were this last year, and the profit was this last year. So it looks like there was some profit here. So I think it's a good buy. Or they're going to say, oh, the revenue's kind of low. Maybe if they have a little bit of experience, maybe they understand what the typical revenue at a dental practice might look like. They might be able to say, well, I have a few other clients that are dentists and the revenue here is above or below what some of those other clients, what their revenue was. It's fine. It's fine. For taxes, they're going to know, hey, you're going to pay a little bit more or a little bit less taxes than those other dentists. But that's basically all they're able to tell you. Because if they're not actually going into the office, they're not looking at schedules, they're not looking at production by procedure reports, they're not actually looking at the treatment being done in the office, and they likely don't understand what type of treatments need to be done in order to increase that revenue. And they oftentimes don't understand the seller might be doing aggressive things that you as the buyer aren't going to want to do. The seller might be, like in that example that we originally talked about, really slowing down and leaving a huge amount of treatment on the table. Accountants are great for analyzing past numbers and for helping you determine how much you need to pay in taxes, but they are not going to be helpful in helping you evaluate if a dental practice is the right opportunity for you. So what actually determines if a dental practice is the right practice for you as a buyer? There are a huge number of things you need to look at. When I work with my clients, we look at hundreds of different metrics and we actually go into the practice and evaluate specifically, is this practice going to help you achieve your goals? But a few of the big ones are, are there enough patients at this practice? What's the demographics like? Not necessarily in terms of how many dentists there are in the area. That's a very simple number that you can find online. And some companies will print out these fancy looking reports that simply say, oh, there's a dentist close by. Great. Okay. There's dentists everywhere. But what's the actual demographics like? What kind of patients are at that practice? Are they the type of patients that are going to be able to do the type of work you want to do? What type of insurance plans do they have? If you are looking to do high-end cosmetic dentistry, you shouldn't buy a Medicaid practice. It's not going to meet your goals. What kind of opportunities are there at this practice if you're able to increase your treatment planning? You're able to increase case acceptance? Is this a growth opportunity? Or is this practice already being maxed out? What kind of diagnostic philosophy did the seller have? Does it match with yours? What kind of opportunities are there going to be if you come in and you're able to diagnose more? What type of clinical systems are at place in this practice? Some buyers want to come into a practice that already has all the systems in place so that they can come in and get running and get going. If you're the type of buyer that doesn't want to have to worry about setting up systems, then you need to find a practice that's already optimized and ready to go. If on the other hand, you enjoy setting up systems, you know your personality, you know you're the type who likes to figure out puzzles and likes to come in and fix broken things, then you might be extremely interested in one of these growth opportunity practices and you might make a killing in a practice like that. But if you're the type who doesn't like solving puzzles, you don't want to mess with that stuff. You just want to come in and do the dentistry and get out. Well, then you need to find a practice that's already more optimized. Yeah, you're going to be paying more for that, but it's fine. Because if you come in and you're a very clinical-minded dentist, you don't want to have to deal as much with optimizing the business stuff. If you can find an opportunity where you come in and the practice is ready to go and you come in running, that could be an incredible opportunity for you. So it depends on your goals and what type of buyer you are. One practice might be incredible for one buyer, but terrible for you. And one practice might be terrible for you, but incredible. You know, so you can't just look at one single number. You can't just send a packet of documents off to an accountant and say, hey, evaluate this. Is it worth buying? Because you as the buyer have specific goals that you want to meet. And not every practice is going to help you meet those goals. But if you find the right practice, if you find the practice that helps you achieve those goals you want to achieve, buying a practice can be literally life-changing. You can go from not really enjoying your job to having a job that you absolutely cannot wait to get up and go into work because you've set it up the way you want to set it up and you're enjoying what you're doing. You're making a significant amount of money and you have time left over to do other things that you're excited about. You're not just in the clinic every day. You're spending days doing some hobbies, going out with friends, spending time with family, doing things other than just working. So yes, the practice you buy makes an incredible impact on the quality of your life. If you buy the wrong practice, you could potentially be setting yourself up for a lot of pain and a lot of headaches. If you're not going to do the work to make sure that the practice you're buying is actually the right practice, then I would just stay at your associate job. I tell people, the best position to be in as a dentist is to be a practice owner. And the worst position for you to be in as a dentist is to be a practice owner. It just depends on which practice you're buying. If you buy the right practice and you're the owner of a practice that helps you achieve your goals, it's incredible. It's so good. But if you buy a practice that is not aligned with your goals, that does not help you get to where you want to go, it can actively hold you back and it can make you miserable. It can make you absolutely miserable because if you're at an associate job that you're unhappy at, you can just leave at any time. You might have to give a 30 or 60 day notice. But if you buy a practice and you take out a loan for $1 million+, sometimes $2 million, sometimes $3 million, and you get in there and you realize you're not happy, you realize, I don't like this. This is not for me. And you might be in a situation where you overpaid for this practice and no other buyer is going to be willing to pay what you paid for it. And so you might be $1 million under the water. You bought the practice for $2 million. You're only able to sell it for $1 million. How are you going to come up with that $1 million to pay back the bank? You might not have $1 million sitting around. So you might literally be trapped at this job that you hate. Do not buy a practice unless you are 100% sure that it's the right practice for you. You know, you might not be able to get to 100%, but you need to do everything you can to verify every little piece of this practice. People reach out to me all the time and they say, hey, Chris, I want to sign up for your service, but I'm already working with someone else. I tell them, you're about to spend $1 million. I would have as many different advisors look at this practice as possible because I might spot something and someone else might spot something different. Someone else might have a different opinion. And we talked about accountants. You shouldn't have an accountant be your only factor when you're evaluating a practice, but absolutely you should have an accountant look at your practice. You need to have a lawyer that is looking through the practice. You need to have banks that are looking through the practice. You need to hire a clinical advisor that understands the office and is going to help you look things through. You need to have someone who understands operations. If you have friends who are dentists, especially if they're practice owners, show them the practice, ask their opinion. You need to have as many opinions as possible. You need to go into this being the most knowledgeable buyer you possibly can. If you go into this without having the background, without having the advisors, without having that support, understand that this seller has been at that office maybe 30 or 40 years, and they're hiring a practice broker, paying this practice broker $50,000 to $100,000, sometimes more, to represent them in this sale. That practice broker might have sold 50, 100, 200 practices. They have a huge amount of experience that you as a buyer don't have if you go into this alone. Do not go into this alone unless you have bought 10 practices before. I still recommend having a team helping you. Even then, you probably need to be hiring people to help you because you're focused on dentistry. You're focused on other things. You need to have someone who has looked at hundreds of practices before to help you determine if this one is worth buying. If your goal is to have more free time, ownership can give you that flexibility, but only if you buy the right practice. If your goal is to have a better lifestyle, ownership can give you that leverage, but only if you buy the right practice. If your goal is to have more control over your schedule and more free time, ownership can give you that, but only if you buy the right practice. If your goal is to make more money and to be more successful as a dentist, ownership can give you that, but only if you buy the right practice. All of these things can be enabled by ownership, but the key part here is you need to make sure that you are buying the right practice to help you achieve those goals. Do not ask, is this a good practice? What does that even mean? What is good? Who cares? You need to be asking, is this practice going to help me achieve my goals? And if the answer is yes, then go forward 100%. Put all of your energy into growing this practice, create an amazing life. But if the answer is no, absolutely do not touch that practice with a 500-foot stick. Stay away from any opportunity that's not going to help you achieve your goals. Focus on the ones that are exactly what you're looking for. Put all your energy into that, and you can be incredibly successful as a dentist.